All week, I'm going to be teaching and ministering from a prophetic word the Lord gave me about 2016. And I'm going to read just a portion of it to you right now. We'll read other parts of it a little later. I was in the Boston area on October the 2nd, 2015, and had just finished a meeting there. Got back to my hotel, getting ready for bed, and the Spirit of God began to talk to me about 2016. So I wrote it down, and the first part of it is a very interesting statement. He said, extraordinary things are taking place in the heavenlies, and 2016 will come to be known as the year of the great breaking loose. Everybody say, the great breaking loose. And there were several other things, and I'll get to that at a little later. But when he said that, one of the things I was reminded of was a prophecy that Brother Hagin gave some time back, obviously before he went to heaven. And he said in that prophetic word, as more and more of us respond to God's call to pray, there will begin to be a greater and greater manifestation of God's power and God's glory on the earth. The manifestations and demonstrations of God's Spirit will become as common and as real as everyday natural things are to us. The next wave is about to burst up on us in all of its glory, and every one of us should be determined not to miss it. Now notice he said the next wave is about to burst upon us. And that's what I remembered about that prophecy when the Lord said 2016 will come to be known as the great breaking loose. Let me define for you the word burst. Number one, it means a sudden flurry of activity. Number two, it means a sudden intense happening. Number three, the act of exploding. And number four, to break open, to break out, or to break loose. And then it says, the fifth definition, to release something that has been shut up. Well, remember what he said. Extraordinary things are taking place in the heavenlies. And 2016 will come to be known as the year of the great breaking loose. That means some things that have been shut up are going to break loose. And I love the word suddenly. They will happen suddenly. In fact, part of that prophetic word, he said, and things will begin to break loose suddenly, manifest suddenly, and do so in such a way, this is the word the Lord gave me, that no one will be able to deny the greatness of your God. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm ready for some suddenlies. Amen. I mean, it took my faith to another level. I began to believe for things to happen suddenly. And I've been seeing it too, praise God. I mean, it's been marvelous. Now, notice once again, extraordinary things are taking place in the heavenlies. The Bible talks about three levels of heaven. Obviously, the first one being the place where God's throne is. Isaiah 66:1 says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. So that's the place, heaven, where God's throne is. The second level of heaven, it's that unseen heaven. I'm sorry, it's that level of heaven that you can see with the natural eyes that contains the stars, the moon, and so forth. Psalm 8:3 speaks of it. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. And then the third mention of heaven in the Bible is that unseen realm that Ephesians chapter 6 refers to in verse 12 and talks about spiritual wickedness in high places, or some translation says, wicked spirits in heavenly places. So there are three levels of heaven. Now, the prophetic word was extraordinary things are taking place in the heavenlies. And 2016 will come to be known as the year of the great breaking loose. So he said heavenlies. So I'm assuming that what he's referring to is that third level that we just mentioned. There's a lot of activity taking place there in that unseen realm where Satan's regime is. The Bible teaches us that in that area that there is both angelic activity and there is evil spirit activity. In fact, in the book of Daniel, it talks about how that Daniel was seeking God, inquiring of God for direction for the nation of Israel. And it talks about how that he had fasted and he'd set himself to inquire of God. And in the natural, nothing was happening. He wasn't receiving answers. And finally, 21 days later, this angel appears to him and says, Daniel, from the first day that you determined to inquire of God, your words were heard. So God heard him from the first day he began to pray. But 21 days later, this angel shows up and tells him, the reason there's been a delay is because I've been in battle with the prince of Persia, which was not a human being, but an evil spirit. And he said, and finally, God sent Michael to help me. And now I have come to let you know that your words were heard from the first day. But it took 21 days for that angel to break through. So you could say there were extraordinary things happening in the heavenlies between angels and wicked spirits. But folks, there's some activity taking place right now in the heavenlies. And I believe it's been because of the faith and the prayers and the intercession and the hunger of God's people and the determination, praise God, that we are not going to miss out on anything God has for us that is causing that extraordinary activity to take place. And I believe God is saying, I am now ready to loose some things that belong to my people and no devil's going to be able to hold it back any longer. Can you give the Lord a shout over that? Praise God. Amen. A number of things are breaking loose. In that prophetic word, he said, there will be more and more healings and miracles and deliverances. There will be more and more finances for my people so they can do more for the kingdom of God. He said, in things that my faithful ones have been believing for a long, long time, that seemed as though they would never come to pass, will suddenly break loose and do so in such a way that no one will be able to deny the greatness of your God. Hallelujah. Amen. He went on to say, and this will indeed be a time when the faithful shall surely abound in my blessings. Hallelujah. So if you're a faithful one, you ought to be shouting right now. Amen. I thought I'd get a better shout than that. You ought to be shouting right now. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's breaking loose time. Tell somebody else, it's breaking loose time. So I'm going to be talking about all week about this great breaking loose, praise God. And I want to begin with something today that I certainly love talking about. And it's part of that great breaking loose, and we're going to another level with it. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. Oh, while you're turning there, this morning while Brother Copeland was preaching, the word of the Lord came to me about this meeting. And I wrote it down as Brother Copeland was preaching at it. At the end of his message, I started to get up and say, Brother Copeland, I have a word from the Lord here. And he brought Brother Keith up about that time, and I didn't want to interfere with Brother Keith ministering. So I said, well, I'll just hold it until it's my time. But let me read this to you. I wrote this down while Brother Copeland was preaching. The word of the Lord shall be boldly proclaimed. Talking about this week, this meeting. The word of the Lord shall be boldly proclaimed, and healings and miracles shall be done in my name. Manifestations of my power, that's what you will see. Expect it to happen, and so shall it be. No need to leave with pain and sorrow. There's an anointing here for a better tomorrow. This time has been arranged and set aside for you that you might experience my presence and my glory too. So open your mouth and boldly decree, this is my week to become totally free. Hallelujah. Shout it with me. This is my week to become totally free. Come on, somebody shout it. This is my week to become totally free. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that word. How many of you are going to expect that this week? Praise God. All right. Psalm 102. In my Bible, I don't know if yours is just like this, but mine has a little footnote underneath Psalm 102. Anybody else have a footnote under yours? And mine says this, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Does anybody else say that? Okay, just wanted you to see that I'm not making this up. So this psalm is about a person who is experiencing affliction. And affliction can be defined as continual onslaughts. You know, those kind of attacks that don't seem to let up. Paul might call it being buffeted. And so this man has come under great attack to such a level that he has become overwhelmed by the attacks. And you can tell by the first part of this psalm how overwhelmed and how under pressure he is. It starts out somewhat negative. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. When you're asking God to answer you speedily, you're under a lot of pressure. In other words, God, if you don't do something now, or if you don't do something quick, I don't know if I can stand any longer. I don't know if I can withstand anymore. I don't know if we're going to be able to continue. God, you better come through and do it quick. Anybody ever prayed like that? Come on, lift your hand if you ever prayed at least close to that. I remember one time I got under such pressure, needing a financial breakthrough. And finally I said, God, listen, forget the 30-fold, forget the 60-fold, forget the 100-fold. Just match me dollar for dollar. If you match me dollar for dollar, I can pay some bills.
Yes.
Amen. That's desperation.
Yeah.
Okay. So this man is under a lot of pressure, and he says, God, hear me when I cry, and I'd appreciate if you'd do something real quick. And then notice he says in verse 3, my days are consumed like smoke. Verse 4, my heart is smitten. Verse 8, my enemies reproach me all the day. Verse 11, my days are like a shadow that declineth. I'm withered like grass. So notice the first 11 verses in this psalm, the man is under a lot of pressure. And as this footnote says, he is pouring out his complaint before the Lord. But then suddenly in verse 12, his tone and his attitude changes. But thou, O Lord. But thou, O Lord. You know, I believe that while he's talking like this, he suddenly remembered something. You know, how many of you have ever prayed you know, maybe negative like this man. And then suddenly you begin to remember something that Keith Moore taught you in this convention. Or Jesse said, and you thought, wait a minute, why am I talking like this? I just learned this morning. You know what I'm talking about? Suddenly this man's tone and attitude changes. And he says, but thou, Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance under all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Hallelujah. I believe once again, he began to remember how that in times past in his own life, when he was under pressure before, when he was overwhelmed at other times, that God came through. And he's remembering this, just like David did when he faced Goliath. And he said, when the lion and the bear came against me, you delivered them into my hands, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them. In other words, he remembered that even though he was faced with adversity and a great challenge, God came through. And here the psalmist suddenly remembers, wait a minute, even though I'm going through all this and it has a lot of pressure and it looks impossible, but I recall the last time I was in a similar situation, God came through. And how many of you know if God's ever come through once, he can do it again and again and again. Look at your neighbor and say, my God is about to do it again. And go ahead and give him a shout in advance. Amen. And notice he says, thou shalt arise. That's a great statement. Thou shalt arise. The word arise here means you will take action, or you will go into action. Thou shalt arise. It means to spring up and to go into action. Psalm 68:1 says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. There are other translations that say God will arise and his enemies will be scattered. This is also mentioned in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 35. In Psalm 7 verse 6, arise, O Lord, lift up yourself against the rage of my adversaries. Arouse yourself for me. Psalm 17 and verse 13. Arise, O Lord, and deliver. Psalm 44:26. Rise up and be our help. Psalm 94:2. Rise up and render recompense. Recompense means payback. In other words, God, spring up, take action, and pay me back for what the devil's put me through. Amen. And then Psalm 12, verse 5. Because of the devastation of the afflicted, because of the groaning of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in safety for which he belongs. So notice, when God arises, he takes action. In Psalm 68, verse 1, the Message translation says, up with God, down with his enemies. I like that. Up with God and down with his enemies. So when God arises, what needs to be done will be done. When God arises, what he intends is what happens. Hallelujah. And notice the psalmist here says, thou shalt arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. So I believe what the psalmist is remembering, not only previous occasions where he was under pressure, and yet God came through and God delivered him, but he's also remembering a pattern with God. I mean, you know, God is a God of patterns. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Study your Bible and you find out God's a God of patterns. He's remembering a pattern with God. Notice he says, God will arise and favor will flow. Say that with me. God will arise and favor will flow. Say it again. God will arise and favor will flow. That is a pattern with God. Whenever God's people are afflicted, under pressure, overwhelmed, and let me just tell you, I have been in probably seven or eight nations since the first of this year. The body of Christ is the same all over the world, and I see a lot of members of the body of Christ that are under pressure, overwhelmed, facing impossible situations, desperate, and some of whom don't know whether they can stand any longer or not. But I'm going to tell you, when God's people are in that kind of condition, if they won't give up, the pattern with God is He will arise and His favor will flow. Hallelujah. Amen. He will arise. What's that mean? He will take action. That means it's going to be a bad day for the devil. Because when God arises, His enemies will scatter. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, things are already looking up. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let me show you this pattern. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. There's a great breaking loose of the favor of God that is taking place and is picking up momentum, praise God, even as I speak. Exodus chapter 3, and look at verse 7. Now remember, the psalmist was afflicted and he was overwhelmed and he's crying out to God for help. And then he suddenly remembers that when God's people are afflicted and overwhelmed and they cry out to God, God arises and His favor begins to flow. So notice this pattern. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them. That means God is saying, I will arise. To come down, He has to arise. I will come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And then notice verse 21. Now notice in verse 7 and 8, what is God saying? I will arise. Why? Because I've heard the cries of the afflicted. I have seen their sorrow. I see the condition they're in. And then He says, I will arise, and I will come down, and I will deliver them. But then verse 21 says, and I will give this people favor. I will give this people favor. Say it with me. I will give this people favor. Notice there's a connection here. When God arises, favor flows. Amen? Amen. Say it with me again. When God arises... Oh, come on, that's weak. When God arises, His favor flows. I got some good news for you. He is arising. And His favor is about to flow beyond what you've ever experienced before. Notice here. I will arise, and I will give this people favor. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty or empty-handed. When God arose and He gave this people favor, when they left Egypt, they had stripped the Egyptians, taken out all the gold and all the silver. So it sounds like to me, when the favor of God is flowing, finances get involved somehow. Prosperity gets involved somehow. Not only that, but restoration. You get back what was taken from you. Can you say amen? Amen? Now, this is not the first time this occurred, but I want you to see the pattern there. This also can be found in the story of Joseph. And that story is beginning in chapter 37 of the book of Genesis and goes all the way through chapter 42. But rather than read Genesis 37 all the way through 42. Let's just let Stephen put it in a few words for us in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Stephen, talking about Joseph and his story, he sums it up in about two or three verses. He says, "And the patriarchs," this is speaking of Joseph's brothers, "the patriarchs moved with envy," or jealousy, "and sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him." Everybody say, God was with him.
God was with him.
"And delivered him out of all his affliction and gave him favor." Yeah. Hallelujah. God saw the affliction of Joseph. And what happened? God arose. God arose. And when God arises, He takes action. He exerts His power against the adversary. And not only that, but when God arises, His favor flows. He delivered him out of his afflictions and gave him favor in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and all his house. When God saw the affliction of Joseph, he arose, he went to work, he went into action, and he gave the man favor, and he took him from the pit to the palace. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you just might be headed from the pit to the palace. Glory to God. Notice the pattern once again. You'll see this pattern also in the story of Esther. You'll see it also in the story of Daniel. That when God's people are afflicted, God arises and His favor begins to flow. And it affects them financially. It affects them where their assets are concerned. It affects them where restoration is concerned. Did you notice there in the story about God delivering the people out of Egypt? God not only gave that generation the wages that were due them that had been held back by the Egyptians, but He also gave them the wages of their ancestors representing over 400 years. With interest.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. That one generation walked out of Egypt not only with what belonged to them that had been held back, but what belonged to their ancestors for over 400 years with interest, and they walked out of there with it. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, the favor of God is about to flow on His people in our generation like we have never experienced it before. And it's going to be a great payback day for the body of Christ. Satan's going to wish he never had attacked us. He's going to wish he never launched his attacks against us. He would have been better off to just leave us alone. Because when God restores, He never brings you back to original condition. Minimum restoration with God is twofold. Hallelujah. Amen. That's minimum. He restored back to Job twice everything that had been taken from him. But the book of Proverbs says if you catch a thief, you can make him recompense as much as sevenfold. First time Jesse heard me preach on sevenfold restoration, he came to me after the service. He said, "After hearing what you preached today, I just got too expensive for the devil to mess with. Because he's going to pay me back sevenfold for everything he stole." Hallelujah. Amen. So there's a breaking loose taking place right now of the favor of God. And if you've been under pressure, overwhelmed, facing impossible looking situations that look like they'd never change, well, I just want you to know you're in the right place, hearing the right things, because God has seen your affliction. God has seen your sorrow. God has heard your cries. God has seen your faith. You thought you couldn't stand anymore, but take a look, you're still standing, and praise God. All He asks you to do is, having done all to stand, just keep standing. You're doing that, so you're about to have a major breakthrough. Praise God. Can you give the Lord a shout in advance? Come on, shout in advance. Amen. One of the things that Jesus said that he was anointed to preach. Remember in Luke chapter 4, when he was in that synagogue and he stood up, the Bible says, to read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted," and so forth. But then the last thing he said was, "And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." In the Amplified Bible, it says, "To preach the year in which God's favor profusely abounds." Favor profusely abounding. That's almost like saying you can't contain it all. Profusely abounding. You can't contain it all. And Jesus said that's one of the things that he was anointed to preach. Well, that happened at Calvary. The favor of God profusely abounding toward humanity. Like Brother Copeland talking about this morning. The mercy of God. The kindness of God. When man was doomed for a devil's hell. And should have gone there. But because of God's mercy and God's compassion, he wouldn't allow it. And he sent Jesus. And when Jesus paid the price for Adam's transgression, then the favor of God profusely abounded toward humanity. And praise God, our eternal destiny changed. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen. But don't get the idea that when Psalm 102 says the time to favor Zion has come, the set time, don't get the idea that means that there's a one-time experience with this. Because if that's so, and it only happened back then, we missed it. Now, I believe the set time is referring to. Now, there are times that there were designated moments in history. But I believe the set time refers to when God decides enough is enough and he arises. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
Enough is enough and he arises. Yeah, fed up. Now, we all understand that. You know, when you get fed up, what happens? You arise. You take action. That young teenage boy playing football on the high school football team, 6'4", 260 pounds, and his mother's only 5'2", and tells him, "You're going to make up your bed and clean up this room." And he keeps ignoring it. But when mama gets fed up, there's an anointing that comes on mama. And suddenly 6'2", 265-pound, you know, linebacker realizes that he has just met his match. Because mama just arose because she has had enough. And brother, he goes to cleaning up his room. Amen. Why? Because mama arose. The set time has come. And her husband knows it too. Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Amen? Well, I believe we could say right now, with the prophetic word that has been spoken years ago, the prophetic word that's being spoken right now, that our God has arisen. Our God has arisen. Hallelujah. I believe if you have an ear tuned toward heaven, you will hear enough is enough. Let my people go. Hallelujah. Amen. Let my people go. Amen. It's time for you and I to begin to experience at another level the blessings of God. At another level the prosperity of God. At another level the favor of God. At another level the signs and the wonders and the miracles from God. Can you say amen? One of the messages I'm going to talk about is the breaking loose of Holy Ghost power. There's a breaking loose of Holy Ghost power that is taking place in the earth right now. Amen. I just came from Australia. Just got home a couple of days ago. And the meetings I had in Australia, I'm telling you, it was a breaking loose of Holy Ghost power. I'm telling you, nobody wanted the meetings to end. The place was packed out. Miracles and healings and deliverances taking place. And I had people that had worked with Brother Hagin for a long time came up to me and said, "We haven't seen meetings like this since Brother Hagin's Holy Ghost meetings." I said, "Well, we're just getting started good, praise God. The momentum is picking up, and the breaking loose of Holy Ghost power has taken place. And it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And it's going to be hard to stay sick, stay bound, stay in bondage, because Holy Ghost power is breaking loose and you're going to be set free, totally free." Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Amen. The early church came under great attack, as recorded in the book of Acts. It began pretty much with Peter and John getting a man at the gate called Beautiful healed. You remember the story? He's asking alms. They stopped and they said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have give we thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And the man got up immediately and was totally delivered, began leaping and praising God. And of course, the religious people called John and Peter on the carpet and told them, "Don't preach in this name any longer," and threatened them. And they said, "We're going to obey God rather than man." And so the persecution of the early church began immediately. But Peter and John went back to their own company of believers, and they began to report what had happened to the lame man and how that he'd been healed, and reported how that the religious people told him, "You know, shut up, don't preach in this name anymore." But they refused to obey them. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." The Amplified says, "Favor rested richly upon them all." Notice that pattern once again. Persecution, affliction, come under constant threat and attack. And what happens? God arises. God is not going to sit back and let the devil win. He's not going to sit back and let him beat you up. He's not going to sit back and allow him to take everything you worked hard for. There comes a point when God says, "Enough is enough." That's a set time. And when that set time happens, then the favor of God begins to flow. And when it begins to flow, no devil is going to hold back what belongs to you any longer. Hallelujah. Can you give the Lord a shout today? How many of you could use some restoration? That's all part of this pattern. Amen. Favor rested richly upon them. The church today is under attack, individually and corporately. I've never known a time. I'm 47 years in the ministry now. And I've never known a time when the church, I'm talking about in the days that I've been in this, has come under attack corporately more than right now. I mean, there are people in our government right now that love to shut the church down. There are laws endeavoring to be passed so that we are restricted and confined and limited as to what we can preach from the pulpit anymore. Certain things they don't want us to talk about that the Bible talks about. They want us to be politically correct. And if you aren't politically correct, then we're going to take your nonprofit status from you. That might be a blessing in disguise. Because the only reason you're giving to God is for tax purposes. You ain't got a revelation of giving yet. Not only that, I believe God would take care of us without that status anyway. In fact, it probably set us all freer. But the church is under attack, both corporately and as individuals. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." The word perilous can be defined as dangerous, difficult. The Amplified defines perilous times as times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with, and hard to bear. If that doesn't describe 2016, I don't know what does. Times of great stress and trouble. There are a lot of Christians that are stressed out right now. It says, times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Didn't say impossible, but hard. Can you say amen? Amen. When the disciples asked Jesus, tell us about the end. What will be the signs of the end? He began to talk about all the chaos, all the calamity. And then he says, but see that you be not troubled. Sounds like to me Jesus is saying there is a way to live in the midst of trouble and not even be troubled. Brother Keith was talking about this morning. Amen. That trouble be all around and yet you got peace. Trouble all around, and you don't have a worried thought. See that you be not troubled. But the fact is, Paul is describing our day. Perilous times shall come. Times of great stress and trouble. Hard to deal with and hard to bear. But then in verse 14 he says, but continue thou in the things which you have learned. Notice he didn't say, and when these times come, you're going to need some new revelation that nobody's ever heard of. You don't need some new revelation that nobody's ever heard of. He said, when times like this come, continue in the things which you have learned. Well, what have we learned just in the last 40 minutes? We've learned that God has a pattern. When His people are facing stressful, troubled times, afflicted times, times of great challenges, then God arises and His favor begins to flow. So that's what I'm going to do in times like this. I'm just going to continue in what I've learned. And I know that there is a pattern with God. There's no need to sweat this. There's no need to get bent out of shape. There's no need to quit. There's no need to fold up. There's no need to turn back. Because I know that I know my God will arise and His favor will flow. Give Him a shout if you believe it. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell him again, things are looking up. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7 from the King James. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There are other translations that say in succeeding generations. The ages to come here is not a reference to heaven. He said in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Folks, we don't need exceeding grace in heaven. You have heard the devil's not going. Amen. You missed a good opportunity to shout right there. The devil's not going. Amen. I don't need exceeding grace in heaven because I don't have any adversary in heaven. Once again, there are translations that say in succeeding generations. In other words, Paul is saying we have experienced the grace, which is just another word for favor, unmerited favor. The Amplified uses that most of the time. When you see the word grace in the King James, the Amplified defines it as unmerited favor. They're one and the same. Paul is saying, we've experienced the favor of God, the grace of God in my generation. We know the early church experienced it because we read from Acts chapter 4 where great grace and rich favor rested upon them. We know that the people in Exodus chapter 3 experienced favor. We just read about it. We know Joseph experienced favor of God. We read about it. We know Esther did. We know Daniel did. The favor of God has manifested in every generation. But Paul says that in the ages to come, he will manifest the exceeding riches of his grace. Now listen to the Amplified. The immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor. Notice these three words. Immeasurable, limitless, and surpassing. Immeasurable. Favor that cannot be measured. Glory to God. Now, if there's anybody that's ever walked in the favor of God, it's Jerry Savelle. That's the first thing the Lord began to teach me way back in 1969. And I'd never heard a soul talk about the favor of God then. I'd never heard anybody preach about it. Brother Copeland introduced me to faith and new creation realities, righteousness and the authority of the believer and so forth. And he talked about Kenneth Hagin. I began to listen to Kenneth Hagin, read his little books, get his tapes and talk about faith and the authority of the believer, new creation realities. I never heard Brother Copeland talk about the favor of God back then. I never heard Kenneth Hagin mention the favor of God. I got a hold of Oral Roberts' material. I never heard Brother Roberts talk about it. Got a hold of T.L. Osborne's material. I never heard Brother Osborne talk about it. I'm not saying they never did. I just never heard them talk about it. And the Lord one day began to talk to me about the favor of God. And I kept a journal. I still have that journal from 1969. I've kept a journal every year. And at the end of the year, I put it in my archives and start a new journal. And a few years ago, the Lord said, go get your 69 journal and read again what I told you back then. And I got it out and read it. And I remember when the Lord said it to me, I didn't tell a soul, not even Carolyn. Because it was pretty far out. And you just don't go around telling people these kind of things when you're only 3 months old in the Lord. And the Lord said, I'm going to teach you how to walk in my favor, and there will come a day when your name will be known around the world for the favor of God that you walk in, and I'll hold you responsible to teach others how to walk in it as you do. Well, that's come to pass. I'm known around the world for the favor of God. In fact, I get introduced to a lot of places I preach. Let's welcome Mr. Favor. Let's welcome Dr. Favor. Come on, Favor, preach to us. Hallelujah. I know the favor of God. I've experienced the favor of God. You ask anybody that knows me well, and the favor of God follows me around like a pet dog. Hallelujah. It shows up everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, the favor of God shows up. But God is saying here that there's coming a time. Paul is saying, I see a generation. It's not my generation, he says. It's in the ages to come. Even though he experienced the favor of God, and he did so in a big way. But he says, I see a generation coming in the ages to come that is going to experience the favor of God that will be immeasurable. It will be limitless and surpassing. Surpassing means you don't have any way to set up a model for it. It's beyond anything you've ever seen before. And I believe Paul was talking about our generation. If he'd have known my name, he'd have put it right there. In Jerry's age, in Jerry's generation, Jerry will experience the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of God's favor. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're living in a time where God's people, by and large, are under pressure, overwhelmed, facing impossible situations that look as though they will never change. But our God has arisen. He's taking action. He's saying, enough is enough. And now His favor is beginning to flow immeasurably, limitless, and surpassing. And I'm telling you, folks, He's not going to let you be defeated. He's not going to let you go under. This is not the end. This is the beginning of the best days of your life. Give the Lord a shout, hallelujah. Come on, stand up and give Him a good shout. Hallelujah. Give Him a good shout, hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, what is all this favor on us about? Yes, it's going to make our lives better. And yes, there's prosperity and restoration included in that. But God's got a bigger plan than that. It includes that, but He got a bigger plan than that. And the plan is this. When the world sees that favor operating in you and me, it will attract them to the God we serve. Amen. Listen, you're all familiar with Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. And it says, arise and shine. Now God's telling us to arise. He has arisen. Now it's time for us to arise. Arise and shine. For the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon thee, He says. Amen. What is the glory of God? It's the manifested presence, manifested power, and manifested goodness or favor of God. And the Bible says, and it'll be seen on you. People will not be able to deny there's something on you that's not on them, and it's making things happening for you that's not happening for them, and they'll be attracted to it. The favor of God on your life is going to become one of the greatest soul-winning tools you have disposal of. Hallelujah. When they start asking, how are you doing this? Where are you getting all this? It's the favor of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And it says, and the Gentiles or the non-believer shall come to thy light. They will be attracted to what's on you and me. Praise God. And that's where we are right now. Extraordinary things are happening in the heaven. Everybody look up. See, you can't see that heavenly realm that we're talking about right now. Come on, look up. Extraordinary things are happening in that unseen heavenly realm. There's a war going on there. Satan's doing his best to keep this from happening. But God has spoken. Hallelujah. God has arisen. God's pattern is in action again. Hallelujah. The set time has come. Glory to God. Amen. And things that have been held back and things that have been shut up that belong to the body of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared. One translation says, not only prepared, but keeps ready for those that love Him. And Satan has done his best to hold those things back, to keep us from laying our hands on them. But God has arisen. I said, God has arisen. And His enemies are being scattered. Hallelujah. Amen. And favor is flowing. I believe we're living in the time that was prophesied in the book, in the Old Testament, that says, and the wealth of the sinner has been laid up for the just. The Amplified Bible says, and eventually will come into their hands. Folks, eventually has got to happen. I said eventually has got to happen. Could it be that we are now living in that place called eventually? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me read something to you real quick, and then I'll let you go. I believe it was February the 8th. I was preaching in London, and the Lord said this: rest assured that I'm working in your behalf, and things are about to turn, and you're headed for a big laugh. Your enemy thought he surely would win, but I've spoiled his plans and you will win again. So lift up your voice, let joy flow out, and praise me now with a victory shout. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Brother Copeland and I were preaching in Corsicana, Texas on February the 27th and the 28th of this year. He did the Saturday night. I did the Sunday morning. And as I was getting ready to leave the hotel to go over to the Sunday morning service, I just opened the door to my room to go out and meet the guys to go to the meeting. And just as I opened the door, the word of the Lord came to me. I'd already put my notebook and Bible away in my briefcase. So I just turned, and there on the desk was a notepad from the hotel. So I just wrote it down on that notepad. Here's what the Lord said: these are days of acceleration. I'm in a hurry, saith the Lord, to get things done and to fulfill all that I have declared. And you're the generation that will see it come to pass. Listen to this. Settle it in your heart once and for all that giving up, giving in, and turning back are no longer a part of your lifestyle. And I assure you, your future will be filled with good things and your victories will be many. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said, I'm accelerating things. Look at your neighbor and say, God's in a hurry. Now that was on February the 28th. Listen to me. February the 28th, God told me these are days of acceleration. And I preached about it when I got over to that service. These are days of acceleration. I'm in a hurry, saith the Lord. That was February the 28th. The next day, February the 29th, the airplane that I was believing God for manifested after I'd been standing for 1 year. It manifested the next day. I said, God, you are in a hurry. He said, you haven't seen anything yet. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, we're headed for some suddenlies. Now listen to this. Listen to this final word. This came on March the 6th when I was preaching in Clemens, North Carolina. From here on out, you'll begin to hear more and more of my people describing what I did for them using the word suddenly. More and more suddenlies are coming your way. Hallelujah. Somebody lift your hands and shout, I receive that.
I receive
that. Say, I receive that.
I receive that.
Now, while you got your hands lifted, I'm going to pray over you, and I'm going to believe that this is your time for the favor of God to manifest in your life like you have never experienced before. If you came in here under pressure, overwhelmed, facing what looks impossible, this is a good place for you to be in and a good time for you to be here in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak your word over every person in this auditorium, and I decree in the name of Jesus, this is their time for the great breaking loose of your favor in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah.